basis to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoy this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Jump right into this. Can we do that? Let's pray. Father, thank you first for this time, this opportunity, this moment. I really just kind of share your word to open up what you've already given us. And God, our prayer now in Jesus' name is that you make this real. Not just words on a page, not just a moment of speaking and listening, but God, in this moment, we need to hear your insight. We need to know what you think about where we are, what's next. We need to be affirmed, God, with some of the things you've spoken to us so we know we're on the right path. We need confirmation and challenge, God, in some areas, some conviction to stop doing some things that we know we shouldn't, but just haven't had the power really to cease doing. So I pray now, God, that in this moment of preaching and teaching, that your word is released in such a way that allows those who are listening to be drawn closer to you. God, that's my prayer. I pray it, believing it is so in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray, amen. Amen, 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 amen. I think it's nice outside. What you guys think? Yes? No? Like two people? You're just not going to say nothing. It's nice. It's nice outside. And I like the fact that it's nice outside because it's getting warm. But just a few days ago, probably middle of last week, it was a whole lot of rain. I mean, it rained 3 or 4 days heavy. And interestingly enough, with the whole of that rain, there were mixed emotions. For me personally, I'm working hard on my grass this year trying to get this green thumb thing down. It's not quite working, but the sun has shined so much, the grass has started to brown. And so when it started raining, I was excited. I'm just being honest, I was excited about the rain. My children were upset because of all of the clouds. I had a son named D. He was devastated because of how dark it was. My wife wanted to go out, but I was so excited about the rain because I needed grass to grow. And today, as we kind of look at this text in John chapter 20, I really want you to understand that sometimes what God does for us is he grows us in gardens. That's what he does. He grows us in gardens. If you needed a title right there, I just want to kind of talk. And while this grass is growing, I'm excited because I also have some plants. My wife loves roses, and I was buying roses over and over again. I figured I might as well plant a rose bush. So I planted it, a green thumb, trying to get that green thumb right. So I planted this rose bush. It was dead. All fall, all winter, no roses, just thorns. The sun started shining, the rain started to fall, and guess what? The roses came back. They came back because, you know, some things die in one season, but they grow in another season. Because I'm trying to really grasp this green thumb thing, I'm understanding that sometimes you need rain in order for things to grow. That's a whole different series of sermon titles. But it's important because if you are to grow in the garden, if you are to come back, that's the title, I am back. Everybody shout, I'm back, I'm back. If you're going to bounce back, right, that's a series of dead things to life. If you're going to come back, be who God wants you to be. Grow into what God wants. Become what God has always designed since the foundations of the earth were laid. You've got to know how this green thing in the garden works, because while some things will die, death is not permanent. It will not be always. There will be a moment where the sun will shine after the rain has fallen, and you too will grow again. And I like that because gardens are really unique. They have a lot of different things. They have a lot of different flowers. I'm not sure what gardens you like. There are a lot of gardens overseas. The azalea gardens, botanical gardens, maybe your own garden. If you go to a garden, you can find a lot. You can find these lovely lilies, these beautiful hues of purple and violet. There will be roses, some red, some yellow, some white. They all grow in the same garden. It's in the same space, but they're all unique. They share a space, but they have their own singular identity. They're among other beautiful roses, but their beauty is never overshadowed by another because they are distinct and different. And today, if you don't get anything else, today when we talk about who you are, what your identity is, when we talk about dead things coming back to life, I'm submitting, as God has commanded, that you are a lovely flower. Even you fellas, you look lovely too. Lovely flower. You're a stronger flower, but lovely flower. And you've got to know, if you don't get anything else, understand this, that in the moment you start comparing yourself to all of the other flowers in the garden, you have missed the point. You have missed the moment. You were never designed to be like any other flower, any other plant, anything else that has been buried. When God formed, shaped, crafted, made, manufactured, and produced you, he did it with his thumbprint, and there is no one else like you. The key now is understanding that in the garden is where God's going to grow you, and he is a gardener. Check it out. Book of John says that Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches, but my Father is the gardener. That's why I thought I'd try to be a gardener. God's got a green thumb. Let me try to be like God. I'm going to get a green thumb. So together we can have green thumbs. Since he is a gardener, the key is understanding that he will grow you. Here's a great thing. He's the type of gardener that not only grows the plants, but he also deals in the dirt. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, y'all don't have dirt. He is a God who deals in the dirt in order to grow you as a plant. He's so God, he can deal with the dirt and cause the rain, because when he, as the gardener, forms, fashion, makes, produces, and manufactures you individually, he does it because in the garden is where you grow. Even if you've been low in life, even if it's been difficult, even if it's been hard, even if you've been down or low or in the down low or at the low down, God is a gardener who will come to where you are, and he will help you to grow again. I know you're probably thinking this, what does this have to do with John chapter 20? But that's the great part, because in John chapter 20, what we find are these group of people, and there's a conversation where growth is happening in the garden. We're looking at John chapter 20, but if you look at John chapter 19, at the end of that verse, the last four verses, it says that after Jesus was crucified, you do know he died. Come on, you do know he died. A couple weeks ago, we celebrated Easter, but on that Friday, he was crucified. They stretched him wide. They put nails in his hand. They thrust thorns upon his head. He bled. He swept. He cried to his Father, why have thou forsaken me? He, like roses in my garden last year, died. And what they did after he died, according to John 19, around verses 40, 41, 42, 43, it says, they found a tomb that was in a garden. There it is. That's the connection. And they buried him in a tomb in the garden. There was this young lady there by the name of Mary, and Mary knew what was going on. As a matter of fact, if you look at it in Luke, Mary was standing across from the tomb that was in the garden when they put Jesus in it and sealed it with the stone. There was a Sabbath day that took place between Friday and Sunday, so she couldn't go back. But as early as she could on Sunday, she decided to jet back. So here Mary is, according to John. We're just going to use John. John says that Mary now goes to the garden. She's got a couple of friends with her, another young lady named Mary, somebody named Salome, and their goal is to go in, and they're going to put spices on his body to keep him where he is, dead in the garden. Surprise, surprise, they show up to the garden after they walk there. Can you see them? They're moving quickly. They have on their nice sandals. The robe is going with the breeze. They're stepping across the dirt. The sun is beaming on their face, and when they show up to the garden, to their surprise, the stone has been rolled away. Mary is so ecstatic about it, she doesn't know what to do. She goes in, and she sees that Jesus isn't there, according to John, so she runs back. She jets back now. She goes to the house of disciples like Peter and John. She tells them that somebody stole the body, because now the one thing she depended on for her value is missing. She jets back now. It's Peter and John and Mary, and they're standing in the tomb. John gets there first. Peter goes in. Peter is now frustrated and upset because there is no Jesus. He then runs back to the house. John now runs back to the house. Mary stays in the garden because she has to deal with the fact that the very thing that she had really put her life in, the very thing her value was wrapped in, the very thing that defined who she was now missing. The very thing that she had spent her time time with, the very one she had knelt before, the one she had wiped her own hair on his feet. He is no longer there. She has this pain that nobody can touch. No Tylenol can heal. No one can erase, because the very thing she thought she needed that gave her value, worth, self-esteem, power, and clout is no longer there. I wonder if there's somebody right now sitting beside you. They're not going to look at you, but they've been in that place. The place where you were trying to define who you were, what you would be, or where you would go. The problem is the one thing that you thought you needed was missing. The very thing, the very person. You thought by now you should have been married. All your friends been married. You've been the bridesmaid but never been the bride. And you're frustrated because by now marriage was the very thing you thought that was going to define you. But it's the one thing missing. Maybe it's the job, because you did all the degrees. They told you if you went to school and you got the degree that you were supposed to get the job. You got the degree and the debt, but no job. And you're trying to figure out, how in the world could I be here? Not that you wish it on somebody else, but you know a whole lot of other people that deserve to be where you are, not you. You've been serving the Lord, singing on the praise team, reading your scripture, talking to God, and here you are with the very thing that you thought would give you value no longer there. The loved one you depended on that's now missing. The family members you thought were going to have your back, but now they're stabbing you in the back, leaving a hole in your chest. The very things that we often put our hat on, put all of our weight on, are now gone. That's where Mary is. Mary is in this place where she goes back to the tomb to re-embrace what will give her value, and it is no longer there. Come on, don't leave me out there by myself. Anybody ever been there before? Anybody ever been in a place where you just thought to yourself and prayed aloud, God, if you could just give me this, everything's going to be a whole lot better. You just prayed almost like a starving plant. God, make it rain. If you can make it rain, then God, I will stand up again. I'll serve you again. I'll do ministry again. My children will be better. My health will be better. God, if you could just show me the very thing I'm looking for. Mary was sitting right where you are in the garden, but she was missing the very thing she thought she needed. And so, because she's missing it, instead of giving God glory, she's full of grief. Instead of praising him, she's dealing with this internal pain, this proclivity now to look down instead of putting her head up, because she thinks that she can no longer go forward because of what she has now lost. And today I've got good news. I have good news for you in the garden, because whenever you think the one thing that you need is missing, Jesus will show up. Oh God, I wish I passed in Franklin. I'm in Franklin right there. I said somebody touch a name and say, he'll show up. He'll show up. He'll show up, because right when they thought, right when she felt like she was not going to make it, the text says it. It says she's weeping and she's crying. A matter of fact, in John verse chapter 20, it says the word she used for weeping is the same word that Mary and Martha used for weeping when they lost Lazarus. She is overshadowed and overcome with grief, heavy with pain, worried, crying, tears dropping from her face, and right in the middle of what seemed to be her misery, the master shows up behind her. Jesus himself, the very thing she thought she was missing, taps her on the shoulder, and he says to her, woman, why are you crying? Now, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but y'all can just be real with me. Ain't that a crazy question? I mean, based on what you banked on, you have a reason to be upset. I mean, based on all of the stats, if you had that, then you would be there. So since you don't have that, you aren't there. You have a reason to be miserable. You have every excuse to wake up every day bitter and angry, fussing and cussing at everybody. You have a valid reason to live life substandard, only come to church and leave, wait till next Sunday and come back until God does what God promised he would do. We all have good reasons to cry, weep, worry, be angry, and be sad, except that Jesus has come back. That in the garden, when it feels like gloom and grief, that's when Jesus does his best work. Notice what he does. He shows up, and the text says that when he gets to her, he says to her, woman, why are you crying? This is really important, because there were some guards who were standing at the tomb, but by the time Jesus shows up, they have already been dismissed. So when he shows up, it's just Mary that he's speaking to, because Jesus cares about the one. Let the church say, I'm the one. I'm the one. You got to get that, that he could have shown up when John and Peter were there. He could have shown up when the guards were still standing by the stone. But he chose to show up when it was just her in isolation, solo, dolo, by herself. Because God, among all of the flowers in the garden, likes to deal with the one. And can I submit to you that whenever you are really tossed and a little frustrated about who you are, the key to understanding who you are is not comparing yourself to everyone else, but it's identifying the fact that God has chosen you as the one. No one can do, pun intended, no one, I tried again, pun intended, no one can do the one thing that God wants you to do. That's why you work where you work. That's why you live where you live. That's why your journey has had the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, the curves and the falls that it has, because God has picked you as the one. And if people didn't tell you yet, let me submit to you that life is never designed to be easy. You're always going to have ill incidents and aggravating accidents, disastrous dilemmas and perilous problems, some trials and some tribulations. That's just a part of the journey. But what Jesus does is he comes to pick you because you are the one. And can I tell somebody today that what you've been trying to do, comparing yourself to others, get what other people have, be where other people are, do what other people have done, is really going to get you lost based on what God has, because God likes to keep us in isolation. If I could, I would run through Rolodex of scriptures to confirm for you that there are some things God does for you when it's just you and him that he doesn't do when everybody else is around. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, if you're going to pray, don't pray like the publicans pray. They pray in public. He says, what I want you to do is I want you to get into your secret closet. When you get into your secret closet, I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to share with you some secrets that other people can't share with you, because there's some things God does when it's just you and him, because you are the one. That's why David, when he grabs his iPod, turns the music up, he sings Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. All he was saying was, there are some things that other people know, but there are some secrets I want to tell you because you are the one. And you're probably sitting there thinking, well, if I'm the one, why did I go through so much hardship? If I'm the one, why hasn't my bank account hit overflow yet? If I'm the one, how come I'm not booed up and I'm looking at everybody else? It's summertime. My body look good. Somebody should like me too. And you're probably thinking to yourself, if I'm the one, why hasn't God favored me? But can I submit that it is confirmation that you are the one because you made it through what other people could not handle? You know what's crazy to me? Sometime in Job, the devil shows up to a church meeting with God and the rest of the angels. God says to the devil, what you been doing? The devil says, I've been looking for somebody I can mess with. And then God volunteers Job by saying, I have one that you haven't tried. There's this guy by the name of Job. Nobody else can do what he can do or endure what he can endure. So instead of you picking who you want, let me choose one person for you. And you know the story. If you don't, let me tell you real quick. And what the devil does is he goes and attacks everything that Job has. He takes all of his camel, pulls out all of his kooji clothes. He kills his family. He makes his wife turn against him. But because he was the one, neo-style matrix, I'm old school, he steals to buy. And can I tell you that confirmation that you are the one does not come in how perfect life is. It does not come in how you live life all great like it's gravy. Confirmation that you are the one is based on the fact you've been hard-pressed but you haven't been crushed. That you've been perplexed but you are not in despair. That you've been struck down but you are not destroyed. Look at the person beside you and say, I'm the one. I'm the one. I am the one God has chosen. I'm the one God is going to favor. I'm the one God is looking at when he presses down, shakes blessings together, and causes them to run over. Jesus should have showed up to everybody, but he decides to show up when she's alone because God picked you out as the one. And sometimes when you're trying to find your identity, you've got to know that your identity is not wrapped up in being like the Joneses, pun intended again. No, it's about you being who God's called you to be. So he shows up to Mary. It's real crazy. He shows up to Mary. After he shows up to Mary, the text says that he then says to her, Mary, this is crazy, because she's in a garden. He says, woman, why are you crying? She says to him, gardener, thinking he was a gardener, where have you taken him? Then he says to her, Mary. Oh, this is so important. So important. He says, Mary. When he says Mary, everything changes. But when he says Mary, she no longer says to him, where is the body? When she hears her name, Mary, she now understands who it is. She did not recognize him when he called her woman in the garden. But with one word specific, catered to her, it changed everything. That brings me to my second point. And my second point is, if you're trying to really find out who you are, all you really need is a word from the Lord. You need a word. You need something that's bigger than BET. You need something that moves you greater than MTV. You need something that has real facts and not just slayed or slanted ideas like CNN, MSNBC, Wavy TV 10 or 13. You need a word from the Lord. And I'm not sure if this is the only time you get it, but might I submit that if you're really trying to recapture and regain your identity, it is not going to start in the words or lips of people, but it's going to begin with a word from the Lord. That's why you cannot forfeit the reading of your word every day. Here's what he says. He says, I need you to have daily bread, because the one day that you do not hear me tell you about your word will be the day you accept somebody else's nonsense about who you are when it's not really who I've called you to be. You have to have a word from the Lord. You ought to check it out. The Bible says that God is so meticulous when he makes us and it, that he not only counts the number of stars in the sky, but he names them. He names them. Let me give you that scripture, because I don't think you believe me. Check it out in Isaiah 40 and 26, Psalms 147. The Bible says that God calls every star by its name. Now, I'm not crazy, but I'm foolish enough to think that if he knows the name of every star, surely he knows your name. Matter of fact, one of the things I like about God is that he writes our name on the palm of his hand. A matter of fact, the Bible says, since you're the one, you are the apple of God's eye. And whenever God gives you a word, here's the key. He may speak one word through the pulpit, but that one word resonates with everyone personally. I'm going to get to it in a minute, because the angel saw Mary and called her woman. Jesus, when he first got to the garden, called her woman. But he wrestles and he arrests her attention when he calls her Mary, because now he has personalized the word so that it is specific for her. And it doesn't matter her gender, doesn't matter her race, doesn't matter her social status, doesn't matter if she got tax refund or she's paying taxes. Because he personalized it for her, it gave her identity. And can I tell you that that's what the word does? That on a Sunday you hear it, and although you hear one word, that one word hits everyone personally. Can I give you an example? Walmart. When I say Walmart, everybody hears the word Walmart. But depending on what you need right now, Walmart has a different meaning. If you miss breakfast, Walmart is a good place to go grab you something to eat. You can find food. If it's summertime and some of the clothes that you had last summer shrunk, you need some more fashion, Walmart. Same word has a totally different meaning. If you're unemployed right now, you just need a little summer gear to get you through until you get a whole lot better. Walmart becomes employment. If you're ready to work out because your body not quite what you want your body to be, although we think your body is beautiful, Walmart might be the place you go and get your fitness. If you're young, you're listening to this saying, I don't need fitness, I don't need food, I don't need fashion, I just need some fun. And so you're getting ready to get your summer together so you can go get your play clothes and your play toys. So Walmart is fun. It's one word, and although it's one word, it's personalized to what you need. Can I tell you that your Bible is a modern day Walmart? That when you read it, it's the same word everyone has and everyone hears, but it is specific to you. Walmart, the word. When you're sick, it says, by his stripes, I'm healed. Walmart, the word. It is when you're hungry, God says, I will supply all of your needs. Walmart, when you have children that you read right, but they're still going wrong, Walmart's word will say something like, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. Walmart is the word when you need it, such that when you have enemies around you, you hear something like, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked of my enemies come to eat upon my flesh, they will stumble and fall. Their host may encamp all about me. Of this will I be confident. There is one thing I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that in the day of trouble he shall hide me. Now, everybody don't need that scripture, but when you got haters trying to stop you from growing, then you need a word that is specific to you. And while in the garden, panic, crying, worrying, Jesus shows up and gives her a word. Oh, if I could, I would sit beside you every morning and just whisper a word in your ear, because a word from the Lord will change your life. A word from the Lord will change your day. A word from the Lord will make crooked places straight. A word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God's word, it will hide in our hearts so we don't sin against him. God's word is good for rebuke and for correction and for empowerment. God's word will trump, pun intended, every word that you hear everywhere else. And if you're trying to figure out who you are, what you need is a word from the Lord. A word that says you're the head and not the tail. A word that says you are above and not beneath. A word that says you will be the lender and not the borrower. A word that says wisdom doesn't come from man, but it comes from the Lord. Here's Mary, I'm almost done. She's in the garden, because a garden is a place where you grow. A garden may be the place where it looks like you're dying, but like roses, you will grow again. She's already come to the tomb, and she ran back to get Peter and John. She's now at the tomb alone, and because she's the one, Jesus helps her identify that. He calls her Mary, because with one word, God can personalize promises that will get you beyond your pain. But then, after he calls her this, she grabs his feet. He says, no, don't do that. Don't touch me yet. Don't hold my feet. Don't clasp me. Don't grab that. No. Mary, I have not yet ascended. This is really important, because who Jesus is now is not who he was. Prior, what's the title again? Death. Prior to death, he was letting people touch him. After resurrection, he says, I need you to believe in me without actually touching me. Watch. Before he died, they believed because of what they could see. But now that he's back again, I need you to believe me based on what you've heard. The angel had already told her that he is not here, he is risen. Jesus is now saying, listen, I want you to now trust me based on what I have told you. And this is important, because we are sensual people. If I could teach, we feel, we are emotional. And if you attach your identity to what you feel, then you will always be up and down, left and right, mad and happy in the same time. But when you attach your identity to what he has said, then it doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter what things change. It doesn't matter whether you have a job or lose a job. You lose your job and say, thank God, now I can start my own business. The bull walk away, you say, finally, I can do what I want to do when I want to do it. Because something about knowing who you are, not attached to how you feel, will help you live life on a higher level. He tells her, do not touch me. It's important, because remember, she was called woman, and now she's being referred to as Mary, which brings me to this point, that who you are is greater than what you are. Just give me a second, we're done. Who you are always trumps what you are. He called her woman, that was what she was, but that put her in a general group with everyone else. When he calls her Mary, it identifies now who she is. What she was worrying, but who she is, worshiper. She now is down at his feet. What she is, crying, but who she is, now a child of the king. It's different. And when you know who you are, detached from what you are, it changes your identity. What you are is often labeled based on how you perform. So that if you do well at your job, you keep your job. So then you lose your job when you don't do well because of what you did. But you are who God created you despite what you do. Oh, God, I wish you'd get that. Because if you attach what you do to your identity, when you fall, when you sin, when you make the mistake, you'll separate yourself from God. But your sins are not who you are. Who you are is already saved by grace. Who you are was established before you fell, before you made the mistake, before you got high, before the abortion, before you lied, before you got drunk, before you decided to steal, before you had the premarital sex, before any of that, God knew who you were. So do not attach your identity to what you've done. Attach it to who God's made you to be. Here's the key as I close. He first of her is Mary. Jesus then says to her, go back and tell the other disciples. Can you see her now? The first time she came to the tomb, he wasn't there. She ran to them and said, Jesus is missing. We need to find who took it. They run to the tomb with her. They don't see Jesus and they go back. This time she's going to the same place to talk to the same people. But this time she's got a brand new message. I wish you could see Mary. She's got this big smile on her face because before she was crying. Mascara Mary Kay, Maybelline is running down the cheeks because she's been through something. She doesn't look all that good, but she's doing better. Oh, God, I wish you hear that. I'll try it again. She doesn't look all that good, but on the inside, she's doing better because it's what's on the inside, not on the outside, that matter. It's greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And she bursts back in the house with this phrase, I'm back. but this time, I'm back. I know you thought I was talking about Jesus because he came back. No, this is you, Mary, you and I. Mary comes back in the house, says, I'm back. But this time I have a different message. This time I have a different demeanor. This time I have a different outlook on life. When I came to you the first time, I was distraught, I was frustrated, I was angry because of what I was missing. But since I've been in the garden, there's something I've regained. There's something I have restored. There's something that's been renewed in me. And she bursts back in the house, says, I'm back, and I've got good news. Jesus is alive. Watch this. He is the one that we thought he was. He died, but he's alive again. He has indeed proven that he knows us because he called me by name. I don't even have time to deal with it. I would deal with it if I had a lot more time because I'm trying to figure out how did Jesus die and still remember her name. I mean, I know he's Jesus, but come on. I mean, he's been dead for 3 days, and when he got up, he still remembered the name. And when she goes back, she is excited because when she gets back, they refer to her by her whole name. Come on, look at the text. This is the word. Because when you are the one, when you know God's word, God hears your wounds and he restores your worth. Check this out. The angel calls her woman. Jesus first calls her woman. Then he calls her Mary. But when she gets back to the house with the disciples, John says in verse 18 that she is Mary Magdalene. You're not excited about that. I'm excited about that because she started off as a nobody. She started off in a group with everybody else. She started out as just any woman from any place. But now, since she has grown in the garden, her identity has been restored. And the next time you hear about her, you will always hear about her by her full identity, Mary Magdalene. Now, you're not excited because you don't know her history. You don't know that she was a prostitute. You forgot that she had these demons in her. You weren't there when she came in a house, burst an alabaster jar, and began to wash Jesus' feet, and everybody talked about her. They demeaned her. They tried to kick her out. Her value was like our value before the garden. She was no one, but the garden showed up. And when she came out of the garden, she regained her worth. She came back, and now she's Mary Magdalene. She has real worth. She has real value. She has real purpose. And today I want to submit to you that you too have value, that your identity is in the fact you're the one God has chosen. Your identity
is wrapped in the fact that God has given you a word to stand on, to hold on to. Your identity is wrapped up in the fact that your worth is not based on your works, but your worth is based on who you are. And today, I just need a few people just to shout, I'm back. I'm back. I'm back after the divorce. I'm back after the death of a loved one. I'm back after the diagnosis. I'm back after struggling, trying to get the house, but losing the house. I'm back after being away from church way too long. I'm back after having this bout with suicide. I'm back because despite what people think about you, God is reclaiming you. And what people do not know about you, God has it on the inside. Somebody shout, I'm back. Mary goes to the tomb once. It's not what she thought. She was missing something. So she goes to the tomb and sits there for a while. And in the garden, she grows. So I'm trying to do this green thumb thing. But my grass keeps turning brown. As soon as the sun comes out, it browns quick. I guess it's the chemicals I have in it. But then it rains. And every time it rains, the brown grass, same grass, turns green again. I got this wife. I love my wife. And I was buying all these roses, so I decided that I was going to plant a rose bush. So I planted this rose bush. The problem is, during the fall and the winter, all of the roses die. And then the season changes. And when the season changes, that which was dead comes back to life again. I wish my roses were here. They shout at you. They've been going all fall, all winter. But right now, they're like, I'm back. Maybe you don't want my roses to say that. Maybe God the gardener, green thumb-like, the one who planted Adam and Eve in a garden, the one who in Jeremiah 29 says, I want you to build houses and live in them, but then I also want you to plant and eat from the produce. The one who saw it fit, I don't know who the special events coordinator was for crucifixion, but he saw it fit to make sure Jesus was buried in a garden. Maybe that green thumb God is looking down at you right now asking, are you ready to come back? Here's the key. When you come back, you become the new witness. Mary now is the first person that gets to talk about who Jesus is. She literally bridges the gap, pun intended, for those who do not know who Jesus is. Then you come to the bridge. Aren't you the one that God wants to use to share his word? It happens when you're bold enough to lift up your head and stick out your chest and say, I'm back. And if you say it long enough, if you can rise above your challenges, if you can bounce back, have life after death, here's what I know, that there is another garden. Most people get excited because they say heaven has streets that are paved with gold and they have these jasper and pearl-like walls. But I'm excited because in that same heaven, there is a tree that bears 12 fruit on the same tree. Because there is another garden. And if you and I can bounce back here, then life is not over here. Even after death, there's still another garden. Father, I pray now. I pray, God, that today we no longer live based on what we're missing. But God, we live based on what you're making us to be. I pray now, God, that for those who are ready to throw in the towel and give up because there were areas of life that had died, there were parts of them, God, that had faded away, there were dreams that had really just been deferred, there were aspirations that somehow, God, they had let go of, there were purposes that they started, but then somewhere in the middle of life, God, they just let it all go. I pray now, God, that you would literally reign in their life. Be sovereign. But be a God that grows them back to what they know they're supposed to be, back to what you have shaped and formed and always anointed them to be. I pray, God, today that no one here has reached so low of a place that they don't believe you can reach down and pull them up again. I pray, God, today in the name of Jesus, that what you do with plants in their seasons, you'll do now with these your children in this due season. I pray, God, that none of these, your children, will be lost. And that if anyone came here today not knowing you, that today they connect with the gardener A gardener that helps them grow. A gardener that has isolated them and specifically crafted blessings and favor and purpose for them. I pray, God, now in the name of Jesus, that you destroy the mindset that connects us to people and needs affirmation from those who are around us. But instead, God, you allow us to look to the hills from which cometh our help, realizing that all of our help comes from you. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will liberate these, your children, so that they can grow into what you've called. I pray, believing it is so, in the name that is above every name. It is the name of Jesus Christ we pray. And all of those who are ready to come back together, we shout amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for Pastor D. Sherrod. Come on, we can do better than that. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Amen. Amen. Wow. It's an amazing word, because I think for many of us in here, everything that God gave him to give to us, I think resonates with where many of us are personally, financially, emotionally, relationally, whatever the case may be. Many of us in here right now, you've been up against different battles and up against different struggles, and you felt as if you couldn't bounce back. But the resurrection of Jesus is proof that you can. And he proved that even more through Mary's testimony. Somebody who was discouraged, somebody who was crying, somebody who thought it was over. But yet in the midst of her deepest pain, God's strength was manifested through the resurrection of Jesus. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a moment, if you're here this morning, you're saying, you know what, this is me. This is me. I know for a fact this word spoke directly to me. Here's what I want you to do really quick. If you could just be honest, could you just lift up your hand just to be honest? Like, if you know for a fact this was for you and God spoke to you, could you just be honest? Just lift your hand. There's nobody watching. It's just you and God. Come on, be honest. Be honest. Amen. 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 Father, for every hand that's lifted, I pray, Lord, that this word that you've given to us, your servant, I pray, God, that it would stick to our hearts. I pray, God, that we would tattoo it on our hearts, that we would leave with it, that we would allow it to shape how we live our life from here on out, that we would no longer look at the situations of life and the things that we are up against from a defeated and discouraged posture, but from one of victory. In Jesus' name. And while every head is bowed and every eye is still closed, if you're here this morning, you're saying, I need Jesus. I need to give my life to Christ. Because it is only in Christ that you experience true victory. It's only in Christ that you can truly bounce back no matter what it is that you do. Here's the good news. No matter what you've done, no matter what your past has looked like, no matter the decisions that you have made, the good news is this, that Jesus specializes in making things new. He specializes in giving a new identity. So if you came in here today saying, I'm at my wit's end and I don't know how I'm going to live the rest of my life and I don't know what's going to happen and God surely doesn't love me because of the things I do, here's the thing that I want you to understand. His love for you is not based upon what you have done. His love for you is based upon what his son Jesus has done for you. And the only thing that you got to do is receive it by faith. So if that's you and you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ today, I want to give my heart to Jesus, I want to receive this resurrection life of Jesus, would you just raise your hand just so I can pray for you really quick? If that's you, awesome. Awesome. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. And if you lifted up your hand, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Matter of fact, church, if we all could say this together just for the sake of those who are coming to Christ this morning by faith, say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day so that I could have new life, so that I could bounce back. Jesus be my Lord. Jesus be my Savior. Thank you for new life. Thank you for loving me. In your name, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for those who made a decision to give Christ their life. Come on, y'all can do better than that, church. Come on, come on. Amen. And while y'all are doing that, can y'all make some noise for Pastor D. Sherrod Riddick again? Amen. Amen. Wow, what an amazing, amazing word. And here's the thing I want us to do this week. This word is going to be online, but it's also going to be on our new app, Shameless Plug. We announced it last week. I want you guys to get this word in your heart. I know for me, it was so impactful because it spoke directly to where I am right now. And I hope that it did the same for you. And I pray that this will be a message that you would just replay and listen to and just get in your heart. There's so many things that we're